Good evening and welcome to the January 16th, 2024 Town Council meeting for the town of Curry Beach. Commissioner Ellen, you give us an invocation and then we'll have the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, give you thanks and praise for all of your mighty works. You are loving, good, and gracious. Thank you for creating us and sustaining us day to day. Thank you that you made us in your image to exist in community with other people. We thank you for our town, and thank you for these elected officials, the businesses, the churches, families, and all of the individuals that make up our town in such a great place that it is. I pray for this council meeting tonight. Give the council members wisdom and guidance as they deliberate on the items before them. May every decision be righteous in your spirit, for your benefit, and for your glory. In your holy name, amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the first item on the agenda is to approval of the consent agenda. Do we have anything we need to pull or do we get a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve as presented.
Have a motion?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, adoption of the agenda. Guys, I got one thing I'd like to add. Under new business, 11.2 would be appointing or naming an alternate member to the WMPO. That way, with Commissioner Ellen is out of town, we still have a voting member able to attend. If one of us just attends the meeting, then that person does not have the right to vote. So I'd like to add that to 11.2. So if I could have a motion to adopt the agenda with that change.
Make a motion to adopt the agenda with 11.2 added.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, public comment. Mandy, you got a list?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so we get Candy or we get Bill? Get both of you? All right. Say your name and address, please.
All right, so we're Candy and Bill McCarnon. We live at 513B 3rd Avenue South in KB. Most of you know me as I'm the president of our local disc golf club, and I'm really wanting to plan to come talk to you guys about just to express how thankful we are for the support you've given us over the past years. And all the things that we're able to accomplish with your support, as in we've made tremendous strides on the course this year, installing new safer tee pads, purchased new alternate baskets so that the course now has two permanent layouts. We added the drop box so we can return lost discs to their owners. And thanks to the new security cameras that are now up at the park, our drop box now is not getting broken into time in and time again. So we just really appreciate all you've done to help us and support us. Since our upgrades, we have had nothing but positive responses from people all over, because we are a destination sport. People come from all over to play our course. One of the biggest problems is parking. So that's a concern for us. We get asked numerous times about the paid parking, which deters people from coming and playing. We would love to have more tournaments and attract more tournaments to the area, but that is a big downside when they hear that they have to pay for parking. We try to do our tournaments off-season, obviously, as much as we can, to make it easier. But, you know, I would love to see some way if we could work out a way of parking to attract more big tournaments to get more people down here. The one tournament I did run last year actually had people from Alabama, Virginia, all come here, and it's kind of nice to have them all see our course. We have a unique course. And Bill has some statistics about our course.
Yeah, it's just to support that we need parking
and how popular the sport is growing. That's what you had in front of you, is some of the statistics that we get from an app called UDisc, which is what we use to keep score. About 1 in 5 people who play disc golf use that app to score their rounds. And just on UDisc alone, there were 5,313 rounds played at Curry Beach Joey's Park last year. That increase is about 8% over what happened in 2022. But if we take into account, after we put the tee pads in May, from June through December 2023, there is almost 10% increase in play on the course. And you've got a chart there, and you can see the growth statistics. And that's all I really wanted to say, that Curry Beach is becoming a popular attraction. It's going to continue to grow. So if we can expect, and we've seen that at least 10% growth, or sorry, 5% growth in the last 5-6 years, we're going to continue to see that as an issue, as more and more people are going to come and play and then find out they have to pay for parking. And then on the next page, there's just some interesting facts that may help you get an idea of how popular the sport is.
I was going to say thank you for everything you guys done for us.
Thank you for this information, and thank y'all for coming. Okay, that's all of our public comment for tonight. Our next thing, we have no presentations in our agenda. We now have a public hearing, or legislative hearing, so I'm going to let the attorney state the purpose and give us.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll just be brief. We have two legislative hearings tonight. They both concern Chapter 15 or zoning text amendments. The first one deals with energy storing batteries and residential installation. The second one, despite all the sections of the code cited in the agenda, concerns the use of SIC codes in Chapter 15, SIC being Standard Industrial Classification. PZC, or Planning and Zoning Commission, recognized that there were inconsistencies and errors in the use of those SIC codes. And the code was also unclear as to whether the SIC codes were binding or whether the text of the chapter was binding. So with Commissioner, with Chairman's help and Commissioner Barlock's devoted efforts, we've cleaned up the SIC codes and we're bringing those to you tonight. But that's what the public hearing is about.
Okay. So we need to have, do we need to have two, or just we can just do
I'll
one?
I'll open one for the batteries and then I'll
okay.
close it.
Do the okay, gotcha. Okay, I'll open the public hearing.
Let's have a motion to open it.
Do we need a motion to open? Okay.
Make a motion. We open the legislative hearing on Chapter 15.36.260 batteries used for storing energy.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. So this is a time for public comment on this item, the changes in our code. It's been published and on the town website and on the bulletin board, and we'll open the floor for comments. Nobody has comments about batteries, do they? Okay, all right. Hearing no comments.
Yeah, make a motion we close the public hearing on section 15.36.260.
Second.
That's fine. I got a comment after you vote.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 You don't need to read all the sections for the next one. Just Chapter 15's use of SIC codes.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Make a motion. We open a legislative hearing for Chapter 15 use of SIC codes.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. So this legislative hearing is open for anybody for public comment about the SIC codes. Well, it's a talkative group tonight.
Mm-hmm. It's not a very compelling subject.
No.
Well,
all It's important, and we appreciate the work that everybody's done on this.
Huge amount of work.
Yeah. Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion to close the public hearing on Chapter 15, Use of SIC Codes.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We will, that closes out the legislative hearing section of our agenda. We will discuss this under Planning and Zoning Commission business in just a few minutes. So now we're off to committee business, Bike Peg Committee. I think Eileen is here in place of Mo tonight.
Yes, good evening, Mayor, Council. I want to make a point right now on the sheet here where it says the request is to amend a policy. At this point tonight, I don't want to, I'm not asking for an amendment, I'm asking for consideration. The Bike Peg Committee has met, and we did a 2023 year review, and we started doing our strategic plan for 2024. And with that, our focus is to look at education and communication. And with that, we want to look at utilizing Facebook, though we are open to other avenues of communication tools. We want something that's real-time, expeditious and real-time. So we want to be able to communicate to the public quickly and effectively, and we were looking at Facebook to achieve that. For our experience in the past year was a lot of miscommunication, perhaps was out in the public, as well as complete transparency, and we thought that would be one vehicle of achieving that. And it would be a very good tool to use for education as well. So at this point in time, I would like to ask that you guys do take it under consideration. Again, we're open to other vehicles, but the key for us is really to be able to have it expeditiously out in front of the public. So that's the key to whatever vehicle we end up utilizing. Thank you. Any questions?
Council, are we okay with, I'll entertain a motion that we table this to gather more information and bring it back.
I have my information, but I've expressed that to council already, so.
Well, thank you for your consideration.
Okay, so how are we going to move forward? Are we going to give more time? I think Mandy was going to look into some of the options and stuff. Mandy, you have a comment? It might.
I have some research I'd like to do. I just need time to do it, so that's it.
Okay, so we got a choice.
This is an agenda item for February?
We can push it to a February agenda, yeah. We need a motion.
I don't guess I heard a request, except for our consideration.
Are you wanting to come back in February with more information? Is that what you're wanting to do? I was just going to do some background research, too, on Facebook policies as a whole and see if anything's changed compared to what other towns are doing, just in general for council's information. I just haven't had a chance to do that research.
Yeah, that would be great. I understand there are some concerns that council has. So in the spirit of that, we are looking at other options, but this would be our first choice, and I think there are a lot of options in Facebook to be able to control that, and so just wanted to really be able to entertain that as well.
Yeah, I'd like
a first choice.
I'd like someone who's going to be researching this to educate me as to what are all of the Facebook control options, what can and cannot the administrator do, what are any of the controls that we could place on a web page, on a Facebook page. My own personal objections are at this point are time it would take to handle, administrator would take to handle the web pages, and I mean the Facebook pages, and comment sections and feedback that people give, which could be potentially detrimental.
So that's the concern I have, like, is the commenting section and how some towns are doing it one way, some towns are doing it another, and I would just like to research what's legal on controlling commenting, if it can be an information only or something like that. And I, from what I found, I haven't found any information that tells me in black and white exactly what we can do about comments.
It has been a valuable tool for I think, for the police department, for fire department, and for Parks and Rec.
Fire
and Parks and Rec. So it is.
Can I make one comment?
Yes, sir.
The other consideration I think council needs to take into consideration is those are public records, and any public record request is usually pretty tough to deal with unless it's very narrow in scope. And I can see that broadness increasing significantly, you know, through social media.
Well, and I think that's part of the reason that I think we need to wait and gather some information before we make a final decision on it, because we do have some areas of town that are very, it's working for us in those areas. So,
but we, the town has a number of pieces of communication to the public.
Correct.
And if we have there is a bike ped event, it can be put on all those
correct
things without getting a bunch of negative or positive feedback.
We also have a social media policy also correct that we adopted
in 2015.
Yeah, 2015, so it's been a while.
And amended in 2019.
Yeah. So it's your decision, council. So I need if you want to wait 30 days, if we want to make them discuss this more, if you're willing to get information, I just need a motion to move forward to table it to the February meeting.
I'll make a motion to table this to the February meeting with the intent to gather more information.
Okay. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. We'll bring it back next month, okay?
Will do. Thank you.
Okay. Next is the Community Center Committee. They did not meet this month, this past month, so they don't have any report. I think they do have some events planned for the future. We should be getting some information about that. Historic Preservation?
No. Yes, sir. We did meet in January, and the only business was to vote in our officers. We voted the same
slate. Yes. Okay, great. Marketing committee, did they meet, John? Connie, excuse me. Marketing committee hasn't met since
they haven't met. I got a notice that we're going to meet next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, okay, thank you. All right, planning and zoning.
Apologize for the lengthy items under planning and zoning, but a lot of this has been pent up since November. The first item is the first section of the legislative hearing that we just had, and that was the batteries used for storage. This all stemmed from a property actually at Carolina Beach. We're not aware of anything in Curie Beach at this point that has that, but we're just trying to get in front of it. This is really just aesthetic requirements, more so than anything else. One, to ensure that the minimum height requirements by the manufacturer are adhered to for us, so that the batteries are not more visible than they need to be on the side or back of the property, and also to ensure that the batteries do not egress into the setback area. So that's all the position we're taking on this from the standpoint of control at this point.
Okay. Any discussion from council?
Make a motion we pass the text amendment to 1536.260 batteries.
A second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Jim, do we need to adopt the consistency statement?
Yes, sir. It's in your agenda. I'll read you the key findings.
Okay.
Council finds that the proposed amendment promotes the intent of the town's setback requirements to preserve sufficient vision, light, air, and space between structures and not hinder or obstruct first responders in exigent circumstances. Then it goes on to cite and quote the goal out of the comprehensive land use plan that those findings are consistent with. So if you'd like to entertain a motion to adopt the proposed consistency.
Make a motion to approve the consistency statement regarding batteries.
A second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? All right, next item is the SITCO.
Thank you, Mayor. Second item, again, would be the second item within the legislative hearing. This was work that was led by Vice Chair Barlock to completely, from a syntactical standpoint and also from a definition standpoint, along with SIC codes that were being referenced that potentially could or could not match the intended definition, was to clean up that entire section. And this is months-long effort through member or Vice Chair Barlock's work as well as the commission to be able to get us to this point. It's expensive. There's many pages of changes. But again, it's all an intent really just to provide consistency so that we don't have contradictions within our code. And then also again around SIC codes, those evolve over time, and we found in several cases there were SIC codes that were associated with the definition that was really not kind of the current way that it should be. So we've cleaned up the SIC codes, but we've also put a caveat in that in the event that there's any contradiction between the SIC code that's referenced and the definition wins. And so, no one theoretically, from this point forward, could reference an SIC code that was in contradiction to the definition and then want to make the change or a request based on the SIC code. So that makes sense.
And there's no real way to cover every single absolute issue, is it?
Yeah, and again, I think we've done a good job.
I think we have too.
Yeah. Making progress in that regard, but at the same time, there's not a 100% foolproof way of ensuring that every definition and SIC code are perfectly matched up, and particularly as code evolves over time as well.
Okay. Y'all, council have any discussion or questions?
Yeah. Anything else you want to add?
All right, entertain a motion to approve the actions on the SIC codes.
Yeah. Make a motion to approve the text of codes, all 30 pages as submitted.
A second.
We got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, and next we have consideration action on proposed syntactical text amendments, and that's part two, preface through chapter four.
If I could trouble you, Mayor, SIC codes are chapter 15, so there's a consistency statement.
Yep. I'm sorry, excuse me, I did miss the consistency statement.
You all are comfortable with that.
We have a consistency statement. We have a motion to approve.
Make a motion to approve the consistency statement as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Now we can go on to the text amendments, part two, preface through the chapter four.
And thank you. And so typically, most of the work that we bring to your attention is Chapter 15, which any changes then require a legislative hearing. What we've also embarked on is to look at the other chapters and clean up things where they need to be cleaned up, brought forward, from the standpoint of current terminology, eliminate inconsistencies and so forth. Again, this work is led by Vice Chair Barlock. He's completed, along with the commission, the preface through chapter four. And again, this is intended to be syntactical cleanup for the most part, no real changes, from the standpoint that you would think of to be significant. And again, this does not require legislative hearing, so this is coming directly to council today.
Okay. Questions, concerns?
Just one comment.
Okay, yes, sir, Jeff.
There are three places throughout this document where the notes for Beth, those will not be published. Those are just the notes for Beth.
Say that again.
There's some prompts to when a text amendment is adopted, town clerk is responsible for self-publishing it in the app, and there's some notes in these text amendments about certain things that she needs to be on the lookout for. They're not the text amendments, they're just internal notes to her as she puts it.
How are they indicated? Because I didn't catch them when I read.
I didn't catch them either. Pages.
Are they like in italics or a different color? Because I caught the reds, but I didn't know.
Commissioner Barlock will give you an example.
Perfect.
Yes. Let's go to 2.06.
Oh,
sorry. Yeah, 2.06.
There's a note
there. Oh, okay.
It's in blue. Yeah, you put it in blue. Okay, I see.
Okay, makes sense.
It's just there's three little notes like that for
that's fine. I'm sure.
And I'm going to make sure she catches it.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Perfect. Okay, I understand.
Okay,
that.
Any other questions for Byron or Joe? I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion that we approve as presented, 32 pages.
I'll second.
Is that good enough? Approve the, that, okay, so I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, and finally, we need to schedule a legislative hearing for the purpose of text amendments to the KBC Chapter 15 for modifications to require lot area and required yard setbacks, and that we need to do that at our next meeting.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We just need a consistency statement.
What's going on with this one, Mayor? Up until this point in time, we had one residential zone that contained language regarding setbacks for smaller lots, or so for non-conforming lots less than the typical size. Our intent here was to provide consistency through all of the town's residential zones, so we don't have contradictions. And the specifics around it is side setbacks for lots less than 40 feet in width may be reduced by 1/2 foot for each foot the lot is less than 40 feet wide. So, and then that shrinkage cannot go below 3 feet on either side. So this is not impact front or back setbacks. It's only side setbacks. And again, it's for lots that are less than 40 feet can particularly, based on their size, go down to as little as a 3 foot setback on either side. And again, that language did already exist in one of our zones. We'll just again bring consistency throughout each of the residential zones.
Okay. So, Council, we need to set a legislative hearing. I'd assume do it during the meeting, like
yeah,
I did this one tonight.
Yeah.
Is that agreeable
that's
with
fine.
Everybody?
Yeah.
So I'll entertain a motion to set that hearing at the February meeting.
Make a motion we set the legislative hearing as the first activity at the February meeting.
Okay.
I'll second.
Second. Favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
So I'm just looking at the agenda. Am I missing that on here? I'm looking at the online agenda for what you just added, what we just talked about.
It's 8.5 it's
right above everything. It's in black.
It's the last bullet under planning and zoning.
Right here.
Check. I'm looking. Tell me where you see. Maybe I'm looking the wrong one.
It's right there.
I must okay, go ahead. Don't let me slow you down, but
yeah. Did we have a consistency statement on the last one, Jim? We didn't. I have one that's been approved and signed by P&Z, but I did not.
We don't have the for this current
for the for the syntactical text amendment. There's no need. Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay. Questions?
No, we're just talking. Go ahead. Keep going. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay, Byron, is that it? Thank you, sir. Thank you, Byron and Joe.
Thank you.
And please tell the P&Z Commission we appreciate the work that they're putting in on this. Shoreline access and beach protection, have they met, Dennis?
They have met, but nothing to report.
Okay. Stormwater Committee, Tracy? Okay. Now for Department Head Business Administration, Mandy?
I don't have any updates.
Okay. Anything on building inspections, Jim, or?
I'll handle that, Mayor.
Okay.
Just a couple of comments. The Director of Development and Compliance, John Batson's last day is today. My understanding that the town will be advertising for a building inspector, but in the meantime, in the space between during the interim, for any applications for permits and necessary inspections and enforcing the building code, Mr. Batson has agreed to contract with the town to provide those services in an agreement that we expect to be of a short duration. The highlights of the agreement are that he'll be paid $100 an hour for those services, and the services are set forth in the agreement. The agreement provides that his hours of performing these services are limited to no less than 10, no more than 15, about approval for more when needed. We've hammered out an agreement for this, and I received John's minor changes late this afternoon. It's my understanding that the council has looked at those changes and has no problem with them. So his recommended changes did not modify the substance of the agreement. So what I would ask the board to do, council to do, unless they have any questions for me, specific questions regarding any part of the agreement itself, is to entertain a motion to authorize the mayor to execute that contract subject to the parties hammering out a final agreement. In other words, I have to incorporate his changes into the final document, because again, I got them late this afternoon. And there may be a tweak here or there to address that, and I'm sure I can cover that ground with John the next day or two.
Any questions?
Yeah.
I make a motion we give the attorney and mayor permission to complete the contract negotiations and execute a contract with John Batson for building inspection services.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Also, I want to thank Councilman Penicali. He's been there when I needed him on this. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Finance Department. Arlen, anything?
No update.
No update. Fire Department, Ed?
No update, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Police?
No update, sir.
All right. Public Works. Jimmy, I know you've got a couple things.
Yeah, I got one little thing. All right. Public Works just received a letter November. It's updating our water shortage plan for the town. We didn't rewrite the whole plan, but we did have to tweak the triggers on it. So I'm asking council tonight, because the state did approve and said we met all the criteria for this. So I'm asking council to adopt this resolution so I can get it signed and sent back to DEQ.
Okay.
Jimmy, we've never executed our water conservation plan, have we? Not to my knowledge. Do you know?
Have we ever had to execute it? No, so not that I know of, in 15 years.
But. Yeah. I think longer than that, but I can't remember. Yeah, so this is required by the state for council. And, I mean, it's a good thing to have if we ever got there. If you look, I assume, Jimmy, you were talking about the triggers. It's basically off well capacity. So if we have a reduction in well capacity, for some reason, those get you to the three stages. The first one's a voluntary stage, the second one's a mandatory stage, and the third one's an emergency stage. For us to have a 60% reduction of well capacity, we'd have to lose probably three or four wells. Exactly. Or the aquifer would have to have a problem.
Yes.
Right? So there's
options. We'd be down to a trickle.
Right? That's right. Yeah.
So most towns have reservoirs, so they have a better way to measure. So ours is a little more difficult for the citizens and for everybody. It's a little more difficult because you have to measure the percentage of reduction in capacity. So right, it's a little bit more. So what we need is to approve the resolution R2401 and the water shortage response plan. I think we can do that all in one motion, if I can entertain a motion for that.
Make a motion that we approve the Curie Beach Water Conservation Updated Plan and R24-01, the resolution for water shortage response plan.
I'll second.
Okay, any other questions, comments?
Mm-hmm.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
All right.
Thank you.
And there's also one more thing I'd like to say is regarding the walkway. I'm getting in contact with Chris Holmes, who was the structural engineer before. We don't have him under contract, but as in good faith, that I'm going to get him back down here to try to look at the bulkhead again, and we'll try to discuss this during the budget retreat
next month. Sounds good.
That good?
Thank you,
Jim. All right. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Recreation?
No additional updates this evening.
Okay. We don't have any old business tonight. New business, 1101, is consideration and action on the 2024 parking season. And Commissioner Panicali.
Okay, thank you. We're coming up to our parking season, which starts in March and will go through, at this point, the end of September, unless we make some changes. Just like to start off by saying that we had a good parking season last year. Revenue was as expected and is reflective primarily of the good weather we had during the summer. And I think we'll see typical fluctuation in revenue streams from parking based on weather-related events. So if we have a good summer season, we'll have good revenue. If we have bad weather, revenue projections will be lower, but that's to be expected. Not changing the number of parking spaces that we have in town. So the only way we can generate any changes to the revenue stream is to change the current regulation or current guidelines that we have for parking in town. Just a reminder, for Curie Beach, we have a $5 per hour, $20 per day. Our season goes through March 1st to October to September 30th currently.
We started March 15th last
March
year.
March 15th to September 30th. And so we are at the time where we have to start making plans with our parking, provider. And they need to, if we want to make changes, they need to modify signage within town and make changes to their software programs. So there are a number of things that we can consider. We can consider the hourly fees, the daily fees, the time frame we start parking seasonally. Do we want to extend the season or keep it as it is? We can also look at changing rates locally. When I mean locally, at certain areas of town, etc. So. Given that, I leave it open to discussion. Simplest thing is not to do any changes from the previous year, where we did have a successful season. We can make some changes, which I think will, in fact, make it a little clearer to visitors and make especially the area down around K and the business district perhaps a little more business friendly. And I just leave it up to the council to give me any feedback that they have in terms of what they're interested in doing.
So I like how you laid out in your email the seven options. I personally like where we are now. I think, and I'll let Mandy weigh in on the complaints, but I think we did not get a significant number of complaints nor significant pushes from the various constituencies that parking impacts. So the business owners really appreciate the 6 p.m. ending, because that helps Freddy's and Jack Mackles and Big Daddy's. The only input I've got from a business owner was actually from Ocean View that says he wishes there was free parking, because it doesn't help him, it helps everybody else. The 3 hours at Joe Eeks Park, we just had someone talk to us about disc golf, and I think that's a reasonable thing to do at the park. And I think we're in a good point, especially if you look at on Carolina Beach, Curie Beach Locals, or any of the other places where people bring up issues. Carolina Beach continues to get beat up about parking, and we don't really get discussed. So I think we're in the sweet spot. That's my personal opinion.
Con?
Well, the only thing that I would say is that if we wanted to avoid confusion, because very similar to like when we had the dogs on the beach, we had a different time frame of what we allowed versus Carolina Beach. So if we wanted to avoid confusion, we would mirror what they are doing, where the season would go from March 1 to October 31st. So that would be a little bit longer. So it depends on whether you want to eliminate that confusion. I definitely like that we just keep ours until 6 o'clock at night, because I agree that that helps the local businesses. I agree with the free parking at Joe Eeks Park. I also agree that I think we should limit the spaces for the free 30-minute parking, because I would say that so many times in the summer I went down there and there would be 6 spaces and hardly any of them were occupied, and you couldn't park there even if you had a permit, you know. So I agree with that, and we could see how it goes. And I think the hourly rates that we charge are fine.
John, you have comments?
Well, I like where we were last year. I could go if the council wants to extend it a little bit. I don't know that we need to a little bit later in the season. I do agree with leaving 6 o'clock at night and not extending it to 7 or 8. The free parking at Joe Eeks Park, that's fine. Eliminating the extra spaces for 30 minutes, it'd be okay. And I don't agree with increasing the hourly and daily rates.
Yeah, I'm happy where we are with the hourly rates and daily rates. I think we're doing a good job at that. We're still offering the annual passes to non-residents, which is gives them the opportunity to come here and enjoy the beach and participate at a good fee. And I don't think that impacts our weekends, because I think the majority of those people come during the week and they see it's a benefit to be able to come here during the week and have the parking. Number 6 on Dennis's list there about eliminating the 2-hour rate, I'm not sure we're gaining a lot through that. I'm not sure if we have a way to analyze that or not. But
where's 2108 at? Is that
that's right in front of me.
That's downtown. Yeah, that's the east of Fort Fisher, south side east of Fort Fisher.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just right in the business district.
Yeah.
I do think we need to. I agree with Connie. I think the 30-minute parking spaces are the where they pick up or go in.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, that was put in during COVID, so people going by, but it does have some benefit for people. Purchasing a cup of coffee. So if they can't stop and get a cup of coffee and be on their way in 30 minutes.
Right. Yep,
I agree with that. I'm okay with Joey's Park. I appreciate the numbers on the parking, on the disc golf, but, you know, the people that are coming and playing can bypass if they're coming a lot, they have the same opportunity as people that come to the beach. And our residents can still buy their passes and come, or ride, as pickleball people do, ride their bicycles or whatever down there. So I think there's ways around that to make that work for you there. There are some people that feel like we have some discussions amongst some of the staff that extending the daily hours may help out some of the businesses, because it would get people to possibly clear out and maybe allow more spots. You know, that's yet to be proven, but it is a consideration. I could live with extending the season to, if we wanted to do like October 15th instead of September 30th, I could live with that instead of what we had last year to garner a little more revenue. I think it's counterproductive with what our costs are to us with the parking company versus what we're the actual revenue we're receiving. So it's kind of a toss in the air, coin toss type thing there. But all in all, I think we're doing good. The one thing that we didn't discuss is the fact that we'll try to look at some options for the parallel parking spots along the street to do a better job of, instead of painting it on the road, possibly some signage or something. Is that what
we've talked to Cremium about that, and they're in favor of installing additional signs along Fort Fisher Boulevard. We initially, when we started the program, we tried to minimize the signage. Mm-hmm. But it's not working. The painted signs on the road are really not working. And if we're getting complaints sometimes, it's because people don't see that or see the signs. I mean, there are plenty of signs they can see that there should be parking. It's an excuse, but so their recommendation is to put up some more signage. And I think we can go with that. We can allow them to put some more signs up.
We've been talking about putting up the police department sign out there and saying, you know, when people come into town, pay parking for the fact, something like that.
But, so. It's just that for those painted on signs on Fort Fisher don't work out.
Are we going to do away with those, or are we just going to do something in addition to them?
We should do an addition.
Yeah, we should do an addition.
I think so, too. Okay. Yeah. All right. So just to let y'all know, that's something that we're going to talk to parking.
Just a couple things.
Dennis.
To final up. I think we should consider the extending the hours, the evening hours, a little bit. I'm not sure there really is that benefit for the businesses, the restaurants there. We could explore it another year in more detail, ask the parking company to give us more detailed metrics on number of people are parking in that area. They can do that if we ask them to give us those metrics for another season. But there are people coming in after 6 o'clock just to park there to go to the beach, and they're not going in.
They're not going in the restaurants.
Yeah. So I agree. We don't have the metrics to actually say whether it would be a benefit or not be a benefit there. But we should be looking at that, if not this year, then I think in the future that's going there. Extending the season, that's just a revenue generator. So this is one way we either generate more revenue. Again, we need more metrics to find out if it's the additional cost of keeping them on board for 2 weeks or 4 weeks is going to be covered by the additional revenue that we generate over that period of time. We were considering fishermen, and they come in, they want to fish in October. You know, they still have the pier parking lot. People are coming in and parking at the pier for free anyway. So I'm not sure that we're offering a lot. So I think that's an opportunity if we need to generate more revenue. And I agree with the fact we don't want to change the price structure now.
No, I agree.
We could follow the other towns when they start raising their prices considerably more than we are, than if we need to cover our expenses or generate more revenue. So I recommend that we limit the pickup spots to just 2 spaces. Let's just leave it at 30 minutes. I think it's 30 minutes?
30 minutes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 30 minutes at those things. So, all right.
All right, so.
So do we need a motion?
We need a motion, and we can.
I'll make the first one, and then you guys can tell me if you want to. Or someone else can make one. Someone else wants to make one.
And we can do this in one motion, or we can do it individually, however y'all want to do it.
Yeah. I'll make a motion we maintain the current season from March 15th to September 30th, and the current daily hours to 6 p.m. Maintain the 3-hour free parking at Joe Eeks Park. Limit the 30-minute parking spaces to 2 spaces. And maintain the P2108 parking rate in the east area for parking for the 24 season. 2024.
You'll leave that as it is?
Yeah, I'm going to leave it. I think it should stay as is. I mean, we intentionally did some things. The business owners requested them. The 6 p.m. thing was initially 5 p.m., and the business owners, when we moved it to 6, the feedback was they wished we wouldn't have, but we did. We set the initial season based off requests from the business owners about fishermen to support the fishing business at the pier. And then all the other things were set based on park participation from rec committees. And I agree with what everyone said about the COVID spaces. They're not used properly, so.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I heard you right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the only change I'm making is for the reducing the number of two spaces.
Just leave it as it is.
That's correct. That's my motion.
Okay. Do I have a second?
Yes. Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Mandy, are you good with the motion?
Yeah, I have some discussion, but it's just about what council is going to authorize me to do. It doesn't really affect the funerals.
Okay. Let's do this, and then we'll. Okay. Okay. So I have a motion and a second.
One last thing.
Okay,
doesn't have to do with your motion. Just a reminder that we're not changing the resident parking pass program. We're not changing. You still have an ability. Residents have an ability to purchase Carolina Beach parking pass. So all of that remains the same. We're not going to be making any changes there as well. I didn't include that because I thought that was
really good.
And the time we start selling passes would be the same.
Right. We need to discuss.
So we have a motion and a second on the floor. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Nice job, Dennis. And good stuff.
Yep. All right, Mandy, you have some questions for us?
Yes, sir. So we started selling them on February the 13th last year, and the enforcement began on March the 15th, so that gave us about a month to work with residents. Is that still okay?
Was that enough time? Did we need to back that up?
No, because we sell them, all day, every day.
Okay.
They're coming in left and right. All right. So that leads me to my next thing. For the last 3 years, we've done parking open house workshops for certain times during the day and tried to offer evening hours and things like that. And people are not really taking advantage of that. They're just coming whenever, which is perfectly fine because we always stop and go help them. So I just want to eliminate that from our schedule. Okay. Because, we've sat here for hours and done nothing when we could be, working on something else and then get up and come help when people come in. The second question I have is I get a lot of funeral requests from the churches about parking. I always circulate it amongst council and get a consensus and all of that.
But didn't we adopt something? Didn't we come down with basically... I thought we did last year where we had an understanding that as long as they let us know about it.
Okay, yeah, so I can let the parking company know. So
yeah,
as long as y'all are okay with me approving those, the only other thing I approve is the little pink houses of hope. Everyone else comes forward with their requests, but I know that's a continuing every year, and you guys have given me the freedom to approve those. I just need the ability to do that for funerals.
I think you need to have the ability to make that call yourself.
Yeah, I make a motion, council designate the authority to approve parking waivers for funerals to the personnel department head.
I just feel bad when I send y'all those requests and you guys are scattered and traveling and that.
Don't feel bad.
Okay.
Right. I'll second.
Yeah. Got a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I don't think we need a motion on the workshops and all that stuff. And Mandy, again, to Mandy and Meredith, they're champions at getting down here and getting. I've talked to several people say I'm looking forward. I'm going back down just letting Meredith help me do it again.
We've just gotten so quick at it. It's just easier to come in and let us do it.
I know.
Did a lot of people do it online last year?
Or did we do. We have a lot of both. I can't really tell you what the statistics are because I don't know how many we've done in person because they look like the online version. We just do it for them. I will tell you that if you have a neighbor or someone that is disabled, can't get into the building very easily, I have gone out to their car and done it, and we will continue to do that. So if you'll just let people know, they can just call us and say, hey, it's really hard for me to come in. Do you mind coming out? We will.
Do you know when our online will go live for this year?
It will go live pretty much probably this week.
This week?
No, no, the sales will not go live until February the 13th, and that's a business day.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever that business time, it might be the 14th or 15th, however that Monday or whatever falls is when it will go live.
Okay. Huh? 12th is Monday.
The 12th, so it will go live on the 12th.
Good. Next item on the agenda is what we added, 11.2. This was brought to my attention by another community that did this. So that way they always have a vote on WMPO. Anybody want to volunteer to do this? If you don't, I'll add it to my list of things to do. It doesn't matter to me. John misses maybe two. Three, maybe. I don't know how much you know.
Maybe 1 a year.
Maybe 1 a year, something like that. So,
and they're not every single month.
And they're not every single month either. So, if somebody would like to do it, they want to speak up, or I'll be glad.
It is the last Wednesday. They meet at 3 o'clock, and it's the last Wednesday of the month.
I have a meeting the last Wednesday that I could. I'm already going to be in town for TDA.
Make a motion to appoint the mayor as
the alternate member. Right. I don't mind doing it.
That's a motion.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Motion and a second. Have a second. All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you.
The alternate mayor is going to be a member.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm almost, and we're getting ready to have commissioner comments. Dennis, you have anything?
No.
David?
So just a reminder, tonight is going to be 26 in Curie Beach. If you have outside faucets and hoses, you need to disconnect them so you don't wake up to a busted line tomorrow. That's what I was doing before I got here. And then be careful tomorrow morning on your steps because you may have some ice on them. So please be careful of the cold.
I'm going to let Connie go next. Connie, you have anything?
No, I don't have anything.
Okay. John?
I do have two things for the good of the group. Recently, I got stuck on the ferry going across. We could not get, or they could not get the platform to come down to the top of the ferry so we could leave. So the boat captain was running around saying, we're going to take a vote on who wants to go back or who wants to let the tide rise the boat.
Nice.
This is a true story. Well, after an hour plus sitting on that side, he decided to come back to this side. Now, they did give us our money back, but I may be one of the first people that made a round trip on the ferry over and back.
For free.
For free. But I did find out you can log into the Fort Fisher Ferry and give them your email, and they will send you notices of their downtime and what's going on. So anybody's interested, if you use the ferry very much, it's a handy little tool. And in the last few weeks, I have gotten emails that say, due to weather, due to fog, due to other things, they're not operating that day. And so it does save you some time of going down there and finding that out and having to drive back home or go all the way around. Yeah. Number two, the town did put out a notice that I drafted a few weeks ago regarding the closure of the Cape Fear Memorial Bridge there at just below downtown. Just stay abreast of that. It's going to be one side of that bridge is going to be closed for the next 4 months. And they are diverting traffic around the KDB Holmes Bridge and other routes, trying to divert and clean up the traffic pattern down in that area. But just be aware, it'll be closed for 2.5 to 3 months, about 2 months going into Brunswick County and then 2 months coming out of Brunswick County on one side or the other. So just be aware of some of the transportation issues going on right now.
Eastbound, they've already got the sign up. Eastbound is will be the first one that's blocked, so coming in. I failed to do this before the meeting started, but we have a Boy Scout with us here tonight. So you didn't think you were going to get away. Please stand up and give us your name, and are you working on a merit badge or what?
My name is Dylan Tingler. I am here just reviewing for my citizenship in the community merit badge.
Great.
Very
great.
Good.
Well,
good job, Dylan.
Somebody that had to do that in the past myself, so congratulations on State and Scouts, and glad to have you here tonight.
Yes. What rank are you currently?
I am currently Star Scout. I have not switched out my patch yet.
Wonderful.
Great. Great. We'll keep it up. And Coffee with the Mayor will be January the 27th. We're going to follow the same schedule, the fourth Saturday of the month, 9 to 11. And I think that's all we have tonight. We do have a closed session, so I'd entertain a motion.
Make a motion. We go to closed session per General Statute 143-318.
/11183.
Okay.
I'll second.
Second. All in favor say aye. Opposed? All right. Thank you, everybody. Okay. Entertain motion.
I'll make a motion that we go back into open session.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Attorney, will you recap, please?
Yes, sir, Mayor. We just had a closed session where the board consulted with its attorney, counsel consulted with its attorney on a particular legal matter. No votes were taken, no action were taken. Thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion that we adjourn tonight's council meeting.
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Let's cool off.